Okay, welcome to the Shemar Al Guraya Parshas Vayikra. I wanted to take a particular passage of the Maral tonight that, again, the whole session is about Korbanos, and many of the Marals are very technical. I wanted to take a Maral tonight that focuses a little bit more on some Hashkafic issues that ultimately relate back to the Korbanos. Terech Beis Hoseth Yud Gimel. We're told by the Torah, "V'chol karban minchascha b'melach timlach." You should salt all of the korbanos with salt. "V'lo sashpis melach bris elokecha me'al minchascha." Do not refrain from placing the salt, which is the covenant of your God, upon your offerings. "Al kol korbancha sakriv melach." Instead, you should place salt upon all of the korbanos, three times, you know, in the space of this one pasuk. The idea of salt is emphasized as something that has to be placed upon the korbanos. Again, this is one of the aspects of the bringing of the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, that they have to be salted. And again, as we know, that's really the basis for the practice that we have to this day of keeping salt on the table and sprinkling the bread with salt. That was supposed to be reminiscent of the fact that our tables themselves are considered to be mizbechos, they are altars, and the salting of the bread, the salt, you know, the keeping of the salt on the table is reminiscent of the salt that was an integral part of the avoda, of the service of the Beis HaMikdash. What's the significance of salt? So Rashi over here has the following comment. Melach bris. The salt is referred to as being associated with a bris, with a covenant in some way. What's that covenant? Right, Rashi, Shabris, Kruso, Lamelach, Yishesh, Yimei, Gracious. It was a covenant that was made with salt from the very beginning, from the 6 days of creation. Shehuf, Tuchu, Hamayim, Hatahachtonim, Likarev, Bamizdeyach, Bemelach, Venishuch, Hamayim, Bechan. When God separated the upper waters from the lower waters, again on the very, very second day of creation, so the lower waters were upset. How come, you know, we're going to be thrown all the way down to earth? We want to be the upper waters. The upper waters get to be close to God. They get to be close to everything in the heavens. Here you have, you know, you're taking the lower waters and confining them, you know, to this lower kind of existence. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, again, according to Rashi, quoting the Medrash, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to the lower waters, don't worry, I'll make sure that you have your opportunity to come close to God as well. You will be brought on the Mizbeach. How so? In two ways. Salt, which is derived from water, will be placed on the Mizbeach, and water itself, the Nisuch HaMayim, the water itself will be poured upon the Mizbeach every Sukkot. We know that there was a water libation that was put on the Mizbeach every Sukkot. So in these two ways, the water libation as well as the Melach, as well as the salt, the lower waters are getting their chance to come up and participate in the Avodah. And that's the Melach Bris. You know, why is it so important to have, you know, water, to have the salt, rather, as part of the Korbanos? Because God made a promise to the lower waters from the very beginning of creation. Okay, right off the bat we sense that there's something more that has to be explained over here. Yeah? Salt is derived from water. It's not made out of water, but in other words, it's when you remove the liquids, you know, so you're able to get the salt, you can mine the salt from the water. So let's take a look at the Maral. So first of all, the Maral wants to know, so, Nisuch HaMayim, Nokat Nisuch HaMayim, so Yikselecha, in the Shil Shetiach HaMayim, Yose Roy, Li Yose Nasmim Olam HaMizbeach, Velo HaMelach, Umetarech, Sohonami, Hemasmim Olam HaMizbeach, Nisuch HaMayim. The truth is, Rashi over here mentions the libation of the water, and that would seem to be really, you know, not relevant to the immediate discussion that Rashi is having on the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about placing salt on the Mizbeach. So Rashi should have just explained why there's salt. Why did Rashi have to bring in the whole idea of the Nisuch HaMayim, of the libation of the water altogether? as far as the Maral, because it's actually we're only to mention the salt, so a person would have said, okay, great, so God made a promise to the water, and he fulfills his promise by allowing the salt to go up on the Mizbeach. Now again, the salt is derived from the water, but salt is not water. So how did he really keep his promise to the water, you know, to allow the water to go up on the Mizbeach? So that answers the Maral to that. Rashi says, you know, there were really two things. You know, the salt goes up on the Mizbeach, but the water itself goes up on the Mizbeach at least, you know, for 1 week out of the year, where during Sukkot it's used as a libation on top of the Mizbeach. Okay. But then Rashi follows, but then the Maral follows up with the follow-up question. And Talmud, okay. But then you'll ask me as follows. In Cain, Shnei Dvarim Lama. So then why does God need two things to go up on the Mizbeach in order to keep his promise to the water? Melach v'nisul chamayim. The Sagi v'nisul chamayim, she yoser otif, but it's not yoser amelach. I would have thought that if God made a promise to the water, so, okay, the water on Sukkot goes up on the Mizbeach. So once the water has its turn to go up on the Mizbeach as part of the water libation on Sukkot, so why do we need the salt altogether? Salt is extraneous, right? I mean, the salt isn't even really the water. The salt is just something that derives from the water. So why the salt? Yes, well, man, the answer would be, says the Maral, let's see, the nature of the carbono shnei dvarim. Every carbon has two components to it. Ma'acho, kimo abosar. There are carbonos that represent, in a sense, God's food. Again, all of this is not meant literally. God doesn't eat. But there are food items which are offered up as carbonos, you know, the flesh of the animals and birds, which is offered up on the Mizbeach. Damashke, kimo ayayin. And there's also drink, which goes up on the Mizbeach. In other words, typically, carbonos are brought together with a wine libation. Right? So what's the idea of bringing both meat and wine? So, as it were, and again, the importance is stressed, as it were, our carbonos represent both food and drink, which are being offered up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, here too, Ubayim Shneim in Amayim. In this case, there needs to be both a food item as well as a drink item, which are offered up from water. Hamelach ba'basar uvalechem shel mizbeach. The melach, the salt, was applied to the food items that were brought on the mizbeach. The flesh, the meat, and the bread. The nisuch hamayim, the nashem mizbeach, and the water was the libation. It was the drink that was brought up on the mizbeach. So, in other words, in explaining Rashi, says the Maral, it would be incomplete to merely bring water on the mizbeach in order to somehow make it up to the water, to appease the water, that it was distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way that carbonos in general have a food component and a drink component, there's meat and there's wine, there's meat, there's bread, the menachos, and there's wine. So too, if God is going to have a carbon be brought from the water, there has to be a double component. There has to be a food component from water. What's the food component from water? The salt. And the water, which is actually brought during the days of Sukkot, that's the drink component from the water, which is brought on the Mizbeach. So you need the melach, and you need the nisuch hamayim. The oath, furthermore, ki ha-melach v'hamayim ein zeh kozeh. Dehim ha-kochim. Hamayim lachim, v'hamelach yodesh. Ulefikach ein ha-echad, motzi ha-sheni. The truth is, furthermore, says the Maharal, you need also both salt and water, because salt and water are not similar to one another. They are, in a sense, opposite from one another. The water is a liquid. The salt is a solid. And therefore, says the Maharal, we need both. So what does that add? What is the Maharal saying over here that he hasn't said already? In other words, a moment ago he said that the purpose of the carbonos is to bring both food and drink. So the salt represents the food, and the water represents the drink. Fine. Then he adds, by the way, the water and the salt are different from one another because one's a solid and one's a liquid, and that's why they both have to be brought. What is he adding over here? Why is this different from what he just spoke about before? It would seem that the Maharal was saying that when it comes to karbanos in general, there's supposed to be a certain amount of contrast that's built into the karbanos. In other words, the karbanos are supposed to be brought from different types of substances. It would, you know, we know the karbanos, some of the karbanos are meat, some of the karbanos are bread, some of the karbanos are wine. You know, that's not just simply because, you know, kivyachol, as it were, because Baruch Hu needs a balanced meal, you know, that he needs a little bit of bread, a little bit of meat, and a little bit of wine. But fundamentally speaking, the whole idea of karbanos is to say everything which is part of creation is offered up before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that the salt is a solid and the water is a liquid is necessary to stress, I think, according to the Maharal, in order to get across the point, everything that we have is offered up to Hashem Yisbarach, right? And Davka, we choose things that are somewhat dissimilar from one another to underscore that point. Sometimes we need the salt, we need the water, and you know, we need to bring both of those in order to make it up to the water that was distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the 6 days of creation.
Well, besides food.
It's interesting. So actually salt is one of the few things that is explicitly said is not a food. Right? The Mishnah Nedarim says that if a person swears off mazon, right, satiating food, he can't eat anything, but one of the few things he's allowed to have is salt, right? But salt certainly, it may not be a food itself, but it certainly is a food enhancer, right? It's certainly something which is used to enhance the taste of food. In other words, you don't put salt in your water, typically speaking, unless you have a sore throat, right? But salt is something which is used to enhance food, so it falls to that extent in the food category, you know, in the broader sense. Okay, so we've explained why we need both the salt and the water in order to make it up to the water, but the whole, you know, this is really like a little point within this Rashi. The whole Rashi, the whole Medrash Chazal is a little bit, you know, hard to get one's head around. The water complained, you know, the water was unhappy, there was distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, like many Midrashim, you know, it's assigning human characteristics to inanimate objects, which, you know, on the surface makes things hard to understand. So from here, the Maharal gets into a discussion on a little bit of a deeper level. What's going on over here? In what sense, you know, is the water distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why is there a need to make it up to the water? What do all these things kind of represent? So writes the Maharal, V'yesh b'medrash hazeh dover ne'lam me'od. You should know that there's a very deep thing hidden in this medrash that talks about the lower waters being distant from Hashem and the need to somehow make it up to them. Everything in the world is always looking to be elevated, to become higher, to become better. Right? In fact, we have an idea that's mentioned in the Gemara that we always try to upgrade when it comes to things of Kedusha. In other words, you have something, an item that was used for a certain type of Kedusha, you can raise it to a higher level of Kedusha, but you can't downgrade it to no Kedusha or to a lower form of Kedusha. When God took the waters and divided them, and he took water from up on high and sent it down to earth, Zehu Hetech Seder Habriya V'Amitzius Shehole Chakol His Alos Talmud. The whole notion of sending water down and separating it and making it lower waters is unnatural, says the Maharal. It goes against the flow of nature. Nature is always looking to grow, to improve, to rise up, to become better. To denigrate the waters, to lower them to a lower position, is unnatural. It goes against the natural order of things. ולפיכך לא היו נבזלים מהם עד שהציע השם יסברך על שום להיות קרבים על המזבח. So to speak, and again, I think Maral takes for granted that, you know, water doesn't talk, water doesn't have, you know, intimate conversations with the Ribbono Shel Olam, but God had almost like a moral imperative to make sure that the water would not function against the natural order of things. If the natural order of things is for items in this world to always go up, to always improve, to always look to become better than they are, so then God owes it to the water, just based on the natural scheme of things, that, you know, this water, which was put down and, you know, denigrated, has to at some point be allowed to return to its natural state, which is to rise up. Right, but right, so I hear that. In other words, you know, it's not denigrating the water, it's assigning the water to do something beneficial for mankind. But I guess on some level, again, you know, all of these midrashim are meant to convey ideas, right? So they're meant to convey, you know, moral ideas and ethical ideas and the like. You know, the idea that the Maral is seen in this midrash is that, you know, everything in this world is meant to grow and improve. And if ever something is put into a situation that stunts its growth and improvement, you have to somehow make it up to that. Now again, you can argue, okay, it's not stunting its growth. That's really, I think that's besides the point. In other words, you know, the lesson that we're supposed to take away is that if we ever were to put somebody in a position where his growth is stunted, we have to address that in some way. So the water wasn't happy. Right? That the water had to be promised by Hashem that it would somehow be able to achieve this element of being able to rise up and serve something useful and productive, which it had lost, i.e., that it would be carried on his back, would be brought on the altar. And in that way, the water would be able to acquire this element of rising up, of improving. Right? And when the water, unfortunately, was thrown down, the only way to bring it up was to reconnect the water to something holy, to the Mizbeach. You should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general uses the Mizbeach as a tool to raise up those things which are lowly. And here comes the Maharal with a beautiful idea. God intentionally chose that those items which would be brought as karbonos on the Mizbeach would be from species which are, you know, considered to be lower species, or species that are not so predominant in the, you know, the rough and tumble world, which is the animal world and the world of birds. What does that mean? So the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Lama Bachar B'Tarim Uva V'nei Yonin. Why is it that the birds, which are brought as Karbonos on the Mizbeach, are pigeons and turtle doves? She'ein Va'ofis Yosher Nedofim in Minim Elu. The pigeons and turtle doves are the most persecuted of all of the birds. All of the other birds of prey are looking to go after the pigeons and the turtle doves. They're the most vulnerable, they're the most defenseless. And it's precisely for that reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose them to be the birds which would be karbonos on the Mizbeach. Furthermore, the aim of the hemos v'chayos yosim yudafim rakshor v'cheves v'eiz. Among the animals, there are no animals like the ox and the sheep and the goat. These are also animals which are, you know, which are the subject of prey. Some other animals, you know, the wild animals will attack a goat, will attack a sheep, you know, they'll carry them off, they'll eat them, they'll tear them apart. You know, these are the animals which are persecuted, as it were, by the other animals. They're the underdogs. it's dafka the underdog, which the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to be a karbon on the Mizbeach, whether the underdogs in the bird world or the underdogs in the animal world. Ubochar Hashem Yisbarach Graham, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows them. Right? So the same, so says the Naral, in a sense, the very fact that the water was distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was, so to speak, persecuted, that very fact, ironically, made it even more eligible for being offered up on the Mizbeach as a karbon. Because we see that the more downtrodden something is, the more persecuted something is, the more neglected something is, the more fit that item is for bringing a karbon or being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being downtrodden, being neglected, being persecuted, actually makes you more of a candidate to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when God distanced the waters and He sent them down to this earth, that actually made them better positioned to be able to be karbonos. So why is that? The reason this is because the world in which we live is a physical world. Those who have the greater degrees of success and dominion in this physical world, that shows that they have more of a connection to this physical world. In other words, those animals, birds, people who do better in this world is because they are more a part of this world. They relate better to the gashmius, to the physicality which this world represents. Conversely, those animals, birds, people, items which are shunted aside in this world, it's because ein hagashmius bo. It's because they have less of a connection to physicality, to this world. Okay, so in this world, having less of a connection to physicality doesn't get you good places, but it does get you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the less physicality you have, the more spirituality you have, just by proportion. And, you know, the more an item, a person, an animal, a bird, is shunned and thrown aside in this world, the more it makes them a candidate to have that ruchnius, that spirituality, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'fikachu nivchar liyos nikrov l'mayla hanedeles. And it's for exactly that reason that that which is thrown aside in this world is actually more right, more appropriate, more of a candidate to be a karbon on top of the Mizbeach. So God's very distancing of the waters actually drew the waters closer when it comes to being a part of the avoda of the service of the Beis HaMikdash. We'll continue Be'ez Hashem after Ma'ariv with this, you know, very beautiful insight of the Ma'aral. If the Chabad of the Pastor Omer, Rasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, in the second part of the Shir, Ma'aral Gurayye, Tarshish Vayikra. Again, the Ma'aral was working off of the comment in Rashi, based on Chazal, that when this is Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, that when God separated the upper waters and the lower waters at the beginning of time, so the lower waters, were slighted, you know, by being sent down here to the lower realms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make it up, as it were, to the lower waters. So he did so by making sure that there would be two components from the water that would be offered up on the Mizbeach. One, the salt, which is referenced in this pasuk, as well as the Nisuch Hamayim, the libation of water, which took place on Sukkot. Both of these things which come from water are God's makeup, as you will, to the water which was, you know, sent away from the heavenly realms, you know, at the beginning of creation. Said the Ma'aral, it's not surprising that when something is sent away or distanced, that it, you know, should be made, that it should find its resolution or its redemption for coming on the Mizbeach, because it's specifically those items which are shunted aside, which are thrown aside, which are denigrated, you know, which are persecuted. It's specifically those items, those animals, those birds, those people, which end up being able to come closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the animals brought as karbanos are the persecuted animals. That's why the birds brought as karbanos are the persecuted birds. And that's why the water, which was distanced, ironically, because of that very item, because of that very fact, becomes eligible to be called, if Al-Gabi HaMizbeach, to be offered up on the Mizbeach. So how does that explain it?
Because the Bukhara were originally the ones who should have been killed and not the Bukhara.
Aha, uh-huh. Oh, okay, interesting. Okay, so maybe you can say that. In other words, that the Bukhara, in particular, because they were saved, they were marked for death but saved, by God in Mitzrayim, so that made them perhaps even more eligible to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, it seems like the idea of Bukhara serving the Beis HaMikdash goes back before. The Jews were in Egypt. In other words, you find, Yaakov and Esau, right? In other words, the Chazal say over there. But, maybe it's an added aspect, the fact that they were so close and shunted to the side. So, writes the Maral, the name Ashtekibu Chisar Vehevdom in Amayim Ha'el Yonim, Zachul Ha'em Yos Kredom Ha'el Mizbeach. Ironically, the very fact that the lower waters were thrown aside and distanced and, in a sense, denigrated vis-a-vis the upper waters, that very fact gives them the schus, the privilege, to be carved out in his veach. In a certain sense, it's not to their denigration that they were sent down here to earth. Right? The fact that they are not so great in this world, that they are, merely water, that actually serves them well in a spiritual sense. Chala Dover, you should know in general, he needs HaMetzias Shal Olam Hazeh, the fact that something is tied to a lesser degree to this world, Mora Al-Shehu Karov El HaNivdo, right? That shows that that item is even closer to that which is set aside for Kedusha. In fact, were it not for the fact that the lower waters would be redeemed through being brought on the Mizbeach, God never would have separated the waters and sent some water down here in the first place. Why? Again, so Rabbi Hartman explains in his note, because as the Maral said in the very beginning, the very nature of things is to always seek to be greater and higher and better. So it would have gone against nature for God to have separated the lower waters and sent them in a downward spiral. The only thing that justified that is that by making them lower, he actually sort of made them higher. By making them lower, it was, setting the stage to enable them to be in that category of things which could be on the Mizbeach. Ironically, it sounds like the Maral is saying, the Mayim El Yonim, the upper waters, are inadmissible to be on the Mizbeach because they lack that sense of lowliness. It's the very lowliness of the Mayim HaTachtonim that makes them eligible to rise up. So in the end of the day, everything is moving in an upward, forward movement one way or the other. For some, it's, they're obviously in a higher place, the Mayim Ha'el Yonim, but for some, the Mayim HaTachtonim, their journey downwards is really a means to be able to ultimately journey upwards. Now, again, so we had posed the question at the very beginning, what does all this mean? The lower waters separating, upper waters, all of this. So again, I think the Maral, without saying so in so many words, is taking this Medrash of Chazal and using it to illustrate basic points about the world, and the points which he makes are applicable to people. I think although the Maral doesn't say it in so many words, the lesson Chazal is talking about, even though they're talking about water, according to the Maral, they're really talking about people as follows. People are meant to grow and strive and become greater and bigger than what they are currently. That is the natural order of reality. That's the natural order of the world, right? So first of all, that's a very encouraging thought, right? In other words, we're meant to become greater. We're meant to become bigger and higher than what we are now. Second point the Maral was making, equally encouraging, what seems like a setback very often can be the very thing which causes us to go higher. When the Mayim HaTachtonim, when the lower waters were separated and sent down here, says the Maral, that very fact enabled these lower waters to be placed on top of the Mizbeach. So in other words, we're always striving, we're always moving upwards, and even things that seem like we're moving downwards very often are the, you know, are just really a step towards moving upwards, as they say, you know, it's the Yerida L'Tzarach Aliyah. We're going down for the purposes of going up. Right. So I think the Maral is assuming that since everything sort of emanates from heaven, right, the lower waters were sent away and sent down, you know, and their original place was closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way. Right? I think that may be implicit to some extent to the Medrash. The Medrash is saying, the lower waters are saying, we want to come back to that which we have. You know, we want to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why they're given the privilege of being on the Mizbeah, you know, through the Melach and through the Nisach HaMayim.
What would be the closest to the waters
Right. What's the point of that? Right. So again, I don't think we really understand what the Mayim El Yonim is all about. It's a kind of a spiritual thing. What's that? Yes, I don't know. I mean, they represent something holy, but what exactly that is, I'm certainly not in a position, you know, to be able to say. Yeah. I don't know how that comes in all of this. Right, the Mayan of Sahom opens up and the water came up from underneath. I'm not sure how that relates. Then I'll add the following paragraph. So Od Yesh L'Zed Dvar Nifloim. Furthermore, there are other unbelievable ideas, you know, amazing ideas connected to this Medrash. Ki Advarim Hasher Nidachim L'Mata Hein Mevashim L'Talos Yosef. Those things which are pushed down, they themselves desire to grow and raise themselves up even more than had they not been pushed down. The Zeshirams of the Kama Makomos, this is hinted at in several places. So for instance, the Lamercha, Chazal say that, you know, we are taught, Shekola Mashfil Asmo, anyone who lowers himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Magbiya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks him up. Well, if he calls HaKola Nimson Tacha Shiflus Yoser Nidai, Yovalahem Maila El Yomna. Therefore, anything which is, you know, the lowlier something is, the higher up it will ultimately become. And for that reason, because the water was separated to be the lower waters, they were promised the Eyalub HaMizbeach that they should be raised up on the Mizbeach, Ra'im LaHairich. And I don't want to go into this whole issue, but, you know, I've given it to you in a, you know, in a concise kind of form. What is the Maral saying over here that he hasn't said already? Right? The Maral basically comes along and says, and by the way, you know, that when something is lower, it actually propels it to become higher. Okay, I thought that was more or less the idea that he was saying before. It's not for those things which are persecuted, you know, are the things which are placed on the Mizbeach. After those things which are lower, the things placed on the Mizbeach. That was a beautiful idea. You know, but the Maral is presenting the second paragraph as if he's saying something new. Right? There's Devarim Nifloim. There are, you know, new and, you know, amazing ideas which presumably he hasn't mentioned before. On the surface, this paragraph just seems to be reiterating what he said a paragraph before. I think the main thing that the Maral is adding over here is one word, mevakshim. Right? Those things which are cast down, they themselves desire to a greater extent to raise themselves up and to become higher. Meaning, in the previous paragraph, the Maral had simply said, those things which are cast down will be raised, right, by some third party. Right? In other words, when the animals, you know, which are persecuted, you know, are offered up on the Mizbeach, they don't ask to be offered up on the Mizbeach. You know, the sheep doesn't come over and say, you know, I feel persecuted, I'd like to be a carbon, right? we do that. Right? So in other words, we acknowledge that which is cast down and perhaps degraded, you know, is actually deserving of being elevated. You know, we make that assessment. However, that assertion. However, when it comes, the whole lesson of the Maimon Tachtonim is that the waters themselves come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, how can you have cast us down? Make it up to us in some way. Give us something to compensate for the fact that we were cast down. That's a further lesson. That's saying not only is that which is cast down deserving of being raised up, but that being cast down incentivizes that thing which is cast down, that person which is cast down, that item which is cast down, to become higher and higher. In other words, sometimes to apply this to people, sometimes the best way, ironically, to get them to become better is to tell them that, you know, they can't become better. In a sense, it's a kind of reverse psychology, right? You know, God goes to the lower waters and say, you will be lower. We don't want to be lower, we want to be higher. Had they just started off higher and remained higher, they may not have appreciated being higher so much. But when God comes to them and says, you will be cast down and become lower, so then they say, wait, achuspa. We don't want to be lower waters, we want to be higher waters. That's their incentive. And, you know, again, what the Medrash is bringing out by talking about water is really bringing out an idea that has to do with human relations. Sometimes the best way to get someone to do something lofty and incredible is to push them aside, to push them back, you know, and when they push back against that, that gives them, you know, the greatest degree of strength. And they tell a story that when Reb Chaim Volozhin wanted to found the famous yeshiva in Volozhin, he went to his Rebbe, to Vilna Gaon, and he said, you know, I'm thinking of opening up a yeshiva. No, shouldn't do it. Really? You're so wonderful. No, shouldn't do it. Right? And it was only later when he came back, he said, Rebbe, I really want to open up a yeshiva, that finally the Vilna Gaon said, you should do it. So, why did you say no the first time? So, the Vilna Gaon told Reb Chaim Volozhin, you know, when Rus wants to be Megayer, in the classic of Megillas Rus, when Rus wants to become Jewish, so Naomi pushes her off initially. And the Pasuk says that it was only it's only when Naomi saw that Rus was persistent in, you know, trying to become Jewish, you know, that she really wanted, she was pushing back, only then did Naomi say, okay, you want it, fine, now, so now you can come and join the Jewish people. Said the Vilna Gaon, anything that comes too easily, without resistance, without pushback, it's not going to stick, right? When you first came to me and you wanted to found a yeshiva, it sounded like a simple thing. Hey, let's just make a yeshiva. I pushed back. It's when I saw that, you know, you overcame the resistance, that you wanted to do it despite, you know, my throwing cold water on the idea, then I saw that it's an idea that really is going to have lasting power. It could be that that's what the Maharal was saying over here. You know, you want to get the lower waters to rise up, cast them down. You know, cast cold water on them, so to speak, and then they'll be encouraged, you know, again, under the right circumstances to, you know, to raise themselves up. Right, about the different needles we're talking about, should we create man, should we not create man, right? So, you know, the MS came to accommodate that. It could be, you know, it could be. Right, yeah. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up next week, also at the Mincha with Tash Tzav. We'll see everybody then, I think. Do you have a minute? Okay.